Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Happy Memorial Day. Enjoy this extended weekend with family and friends as you reflect upon your loved ones that have passed on before you. Remember the memorable moments. And also remember our deceased veterans and those who perished in battles recent and long ago that fought so valiantly so that we could be free. This morning I have posted my Mother's Day sermon, Rejoice Thou Barren That Bearest Not. You may think that is a strange title for a Mother's Day sermon, but it will become clearer as the message unfolds. The title of the message comes from Galatians 4:7, where the Apostle Paul quotes a similar passage from chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah. This passage of Scripture is both allegorical and prophetic in content. It is an allegorical prophecy. The scriptures are so beautifully bound in innumerable nuggets of truth, wrapped in so many different literary structures and styles. As we break them open, they glisten with such illustrious truth and meaning. Our Lord is a wonderful wordsmith as he unfolds his truth to us. There are seven significant and honorable women in the Holy Writ who were barren for a duration before they bore a child or children. Some did not bear a child until long after the childbearing age, wherewith such miraculous birth were truly the sign of the providential hand of God. Many of the barren women of Scripture bore some of the mighty heroes of the faith. Mothers, may you especially enjoy today's message, as you have been a blessing to your children. May your children rise up and call you blessed. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast, or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the subscribe button. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, part 2.
This period of time was great apostasy or great heresy, a great falling away of the Israelites, as we learn in the scriptures here, of Eli the high priest had two sons that were very wicked and caused the Ark of the Covenant to be taken in battle. And that's interesting story in itself. But Eli, God was angry with Eli, and Samson was going to take his replacement. And so it says, Hannah had no children, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Elkanah, and the other wife, her name was Peninnah. And she had children, and her children mocked her, and she mocked Hannah because she had no children. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she was weeping in the house of God. Now, it talks about the temple. This is unique. You know, you got to be careful of words. Solomon's temple wasn't built at this time. You still had the tabernacle, but they called it a temple. They were in Shiloh. This is when the city of Shiloh was still in existence. And it says Eli was leaning against the post in the temple on a stool, but there's no indication they ever built a temple. But it may have been a wooden structure of some sort that they had built, but it was not what Solomon had built, because Solomon had not appeared on the scene yet. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. First he said, notice I cut out some of the passages, but he thought she was drunk, because she was praying, and she was crying and bawling, and I'm sure she was shaking. And she was not praying out loud. She was just muttering the words and were mouthing the words. But he thought she was drunk. And he said, you're the daughter of Belial, means the daughter of the devil, because you're drunk. And he said, stop drinking, woman. And she then explained to him why she was there, and she was in bitterness and crying out to the Lord. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. Do you have a pen on you? Circle that phrase right there. Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. Okay? That's just the relationship between a man and a woman for procreation. But that's a key word. When God says in the New Testament, Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. doesn't mean he's talking to lost people. He's talking to somebody who's saved, who has no intimate relationship with the Lord. It's speaking of an intimacy here. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, because, well, didn't Elkanah know Hannah when he met his wife and married her? He knew her. He knew her. He was talking to her. That word "knew" is very critical. Bring it down into the New Testament. "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Very crucial in answering that question that we will look at in weeks to come. "And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Therefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord.'" I've just laughed at that word, "lent him to the Lord." I mean, didn't she just give him to the Lord? No, the Bible uses the word "lent." And though it wasn't for a, you know, when you think of "lent," that means you want something in return, right? You want it returned. But she didn't want it returned, didn't want Samuel returned to her. She wanted Samuel to serve in the temple. And after he was weaned, she brought him back to Eli, and Eli raised him. Now, it talks about as Samuel grew up, and he became a circuit court judge. What's a circuit court judge? It means he sits on multiple benches in different towns and cities. He takes a circuit, and he travels around and deals with matters, judicial matters in that community. And one of his cities was where his mother lived, and she would make him a coat. Every time he came to the city, she would make him a coat, the scriptures tell us. And he became a great man, a great prophet, great judge, a great priest, high priest of Israel. And he's one of the outstanding men of the Bible. "But therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And so we have that. Hannah has a prayer of thanksgiving in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And it's a prophetic prayer. It's a prophetic view of both Advents. We don't have really the time to get into it, to delve into it. But Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn," means my strength. I think we've talked about this in Bible study, but a horn in a ram, in a bull, is their strength. And so that's when rams butt heads. You talk about butting heads. You ever see them fighting over a mate? They slam into each other in their horns. But my horn, the scriptures use that, my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Not my salvation, thy salvation. It's God's salvation. We have God's salvation. It's not your salvation. God brought that salvation upon us. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." What's that mean? Actions are weighed. The scales of justice. The scales of justice. But it's very interesting. You read the rest of that prophecy or that prayer. It's a prophetic prayer. And you see both Advents in the scriptures there. Both Advents. The first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. Now we have the number six here. There is the Shunammite woman called in Scripture a great woman. The Bible uses the word great woman, the Shunammite, who asked her husband to build a prophet's chamber. This was somewhere in the northern part of Israel, or near Mount Carmel, who asked her husband to build a prophet's chamber adjacent to their home for Elijah and his servant. She was childless because her husband was old, but because of Elijah's intercession, God rewarded her for her kindness to the man of God. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, that was Elijah's servant, Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. She didn't think he was telling the truth. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of her life. And what's very interesting in this scripture is this is one of the places in scriptures, the Old Testament, her son dies. As a child, he dies. He falls, hits his head, cries to his father, oh my head, and dies in his mother's arms. And she goes on a journey to find Elijah, finds Elijah, tells him what had happened, and cries and falls at his feet. And she says, my burden and my soul is more exceedingly sorrowful now that I had a child and he died than when I didn't. I was childless. And Elijah comes to her home and falls upon her son and cries out to God, and God resurrected that son in that home. Amen. Yes. Amen. And so that's one of the pictures in the Old Testament of resurrection. And so you see two miracles here in this particular Shunammite woman. But she was called a great woman. And lastly, there is Elizabeth, past the childbearing age, who miraculously bore John the Baptist. He was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. 6 months older. It says here, there was in the days of Herod, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, and of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken, means advanced in years. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Now, I jumped a few verses, and basically the angel is talking, the angel Gabriel is talking to Mary and says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 months with her, who was also barren. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now Elizabeth's full time came, that means she is ready to deliver. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Then there's the great rejoicing of Zechariah that we read. That chapter, Luke 1, chapter 1 of Luke, is a very long chapter, but there's just great adorations by Elizabeth, Mary, and Zechariah in that chapter. Great prophetical words that are spoken. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, rejoiced in Mary's visit and words of greeting, or her salutation, spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The Holy Spirit revealed that to her, that Mary was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb. That's amazing. And Elizabeth knew that and recognized that. That's amazing. So you have these seven women. Miraculous births. God interceded in their lives. They brought great warriors of the faith into the world. Now Isaiah has this prophecy. "Oh, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear." Let me park it there for a minute. Remember what I've said, I've taught you before. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. "Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." Israel is God's wife. The maker, Israel is God's wife. You read the book of Hosea, God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. And it was for the whole purpose of writing the book of Hosea to display how Israel was a prostitute to the Lord and played the harlot and went after other gods. And God in the book of Isaiah calls Israel the sister of Sodom. And so you have God's first wife. Well, the church, isn't the church the bride? Yes. Yes, the church is a bride. But Israel was God's first wife. Do you see why God allowed those two wives situations in the Old Testament that we read there with Abraham and Isaac and not really Isaac, but Jacob and Elkanah? But what does that mean? "Oh, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." What does that mean? You need the Apostle Paul in the New Testament to interpret that. And here is the allegory. Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. I put just one verse of the whole portion I want you to read, but I want you to look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. And we'll start with verse 19. "My little children." That's interesting. The Apostle Paul uses that little phrase, "my little children." The Apostle John uses that in his epistles, calls them "my little children." "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Means Paul is laboring that his believers will transform into the image of Christ, that they will grow and mature in the faith. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Uh-oh. He's like, you're not going in the right direction, Galatians. You're not going in the right directions. Listen to my words. Tell me, now here it is. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Okay, crucial point here. The one by a bondmaid means a servant, a slave, a servant, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. What is that saying? You two, Sarah and Abraham, you doubted me. You doubted my promise. And you presumptuously jumped the gun and had Hagar conceive a child by Abraham so you could have a son, because you thought, hey, we're getting older and older and older, and God, you're not answering our prayers. We'll just go ahead and we'll force the issue and have that son through Hagar.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.